Hello, sisters. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hopefully you're doing well. And if you're listening to this, it means the Lord gave you another day too. So we can rejoice together in that, even from long distance or maybe not even knowing each other. But yeah, praise God for this day. Brother James and I are standing strong. And yeah, Sister and I were talking about how it's very encouraging just knowing that other saints are striving on. You know, you're not having to go through a whole day going, I wonder if they're alive. I wonder if they're striving on. I wonder what's wrong with them. Did they fall away? Did they turn away? Did they have an accident? Did something happen? You know, those things can, they can be really hard to bear, you know, if you have to deal with somebody who doesn't communicate very well or somebody just kind of is distant and then they just go quiet, you know. That's not loving the brethren. You know, because if you just kind of go do your own thing and disappear, then you're not looking after them and they can't look after you. You know, it kind of goes both ways. And so I'm thankful for sisters who have that love and that care and that concern for one another. That's the godly love, not like the earthly, worldly love where people look after themselves. And yeah, they might really love somebody and take care of them. But when push comes to shove, they're going to be looking after their own selves first. And the Bible says that we're supposed to be preferring one another over ourselves. So, anyway, I'm just doing some sister sharing here. So, yeah, I was just kind of rejoicing in being able to share. We're striving on. And hopefully that's an encouragement to you, Brother James and I. We look back over the years and see how we've just been steadfast. And not by our own power, but by the power of God and His Word. And our love for Him just keeps pushing us on, and love of the brethren for us to be a good example. I mean, we're all supposed to be a good example, whether you're new in the faith or not. But of course, if you've walked longer, you want to make sure you're a good example for those watching and for those who are coming up. You know, we see these examples in the Bible, and don't we draw strength from them when we go through the Old Testament and in the New, and we see the trials and everything they've overcome, and they just continue to steadfastly press on toward the mark. And so, yeah, that's what we all want to do. We don't want to cause anybody to stumble. So, yeah, I was going to share this with you. Brother James and I think it was yesterday, Brother James said, yeah, you know, the elections are going on. I think there's stuff like that going on all the time or whatever, but bigger ones come up. And he said, you know, I saw they're doing something down at the library. They can go in there and do their voting or whatever. Maybe we'll go fly signs there. And we were in a busy area, but not necessarily in that part of town or whatever. But we went over there anyway, and we parked, and I whipped us up some lunch, and we're looking around. There's hardly anybody there. There was some voting signs and a man sitting on a chair there by it, and not many people coming and going. And we're like, well, we're going to go out anyway because, you know, who knows? Whether it doesn't always have to be great big events, which are fewer and fewer and harder to find. We see that. It's just the fact of being obedient and living our lives for the Lord every day. And so I want to share the story with you so it might encourage you. So I made us some lunch and we were just beginning to eat it. We had our gospel signs all over the van and we're parked real close right to the entrance to where people by the library where people could go in and out. And a woman who was going to go work at the polls, she walked up to the van and we got to witness to her. So that was pretty awesome. Before we were even doing anything, we got to witness. And then so we went out and we flew signs. And the man that was sitting there, you know, we both smiled, said hi to him, but he didn't seem like overly talkative. So we just kind of let him be and do his thing. And flew signs on the busy road and then back down by the library. Not a whole lot of foot traffic. There was some here and there, but mostly cars coming in and out and on the road. And so it was a good day of just being obedient to the Lord, you know, regardless of whether you can, you know, stand there and talk to people or if you're just flying a sign, it's good works unto the Lord and people see. And so closer to the end when we were going to leave, I went back to the van and I had to cross the street where the man was sitting. And as I was coming back, he said, I smiled at him and said hi again. And he said, what does that mean? And he pointed to my sign and it said, friendship with the world is an enemy of God. And I said, well, That's from the Bible, James 4:4. And I said, and I looked over by Brother James, he was just on the corner. I said, he'd be happy to explain that to you. And right then, Brother James looked, he was facing the other way, and he turned around, he'd come walking over, and he got to witness to this man. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking about that. There's a lot of misconceptions out there, you know, like for street preaching or being out on the streets, like it always has to be something big. Of course, it's great to have lots and lots of people to be able to witness to. You know, what comes to mind is I lose track of time, last month or something like that. I don't remember when it was that we did a couple big Apple Fests, you know, 50,000 people or something. I can't remember, but it was a lot of people. A lot of booths were set up, which means a lot of people show up. And in those events, like, you know, craft fairs, art fairs, people are pretty relaxed. They're talking to their friends and their relatives, and they're, like, way more open to maybe talk if they're seeking, of course. If somebody's not seeking, they don't really want anything to do with us. Or if they have any kind of urging or prompting from the Holy Spirit. And so people are really relaxed, and to be in the midst of thousands and thousands of people to share the gospel, that is a wonderful thing, you know, because the chances of maybe talking to people are way higher. Now, go to sporting events and all the other ones, you know, where they're bent on their, like, wicked sins, if you want to call them sin of sin. But you know what I'm saying? Some of them are a little bit more rowdy or whatever it is. And they're like, they paid a ticket for it, and they've been looking forward to this for a long time, and they're, like, set on where they're going. Now, gospel cards go out then, not quite as much talking to, and you never know what kind of seeds are planted there either. And so I guess I'm getting to my point here. Big events are nice. Having lots of people around is nice, of course, because when you spend your day, you'd like to be able to share the gospel with as many people as you can. And us being out here on the road, you know, the more we do this, the more we see a lot of these events are confined to certain areas, private, things like that. And we don't go, like, just running around chasing big events, or we'd be just, like, driving across the country back and forth, missing what's in between. And that's kind of where I'm going here. You know, we just live out here. We have nowhere else to go. We just go from parking spot to parking spot, and in between we witness in the parking lots where we park, and in the gas stations and the libraries, like we were just at, you know, standing out flying signs outside it, and the grocery stores and the entrances to them someplace, at the soda fountain like Brother James talks about. And I get to witness to women in the stores or helping them in the parking lot put their groceries in their car, and even the small events, you know. So what I'm getting at here is that little tiny event that we went to is something that a lot of people, you know, we know a lot of unbiblical so-called street preachers. They're not preaching a biblical gospel, and they go out, and the only thing they do is go out to these super big events and try to get, like, this big notoriety out on the internet, you know, and clicks on YouTube and followers and all this other stuff. We're not interested in that. We're interested in the truth. We're interested in just reaching anybody from the big events down to your everyday one person. You know, if we lived our life out here on the road and in one day gave out one gospel card, we rejoice, because that's one person that we were able to try to reach with the gospel. And I wanted to read this to you. It is, hold on, I got to go get it now. It's Matthew 18:11-14. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So we know the concept of that. One person is very important. And we've had this question asked of Brother James and I: would you do what you're doing if the Lord willed us to do it, and if it was, if something we were able to do until the day we die out here on the streets? Would we do it if we never knew anybody except one person that it helped? And we said, yes, we would definitely do that. Well, praise God, more than one has been impacted. We know saints all over the world. Few, I'm just going to emphasize few, but we know them all over the world where the Lord has them placed and doing the works that he has them do. And we see their light shining and impacting people around them. And the Lord's will be done with whatever that is. So my whole point on all this is, you know, the world always looks at things in one way, you know, and it's bigger is better. Well, not so in God's economy. We just read where one is going to be rejoiced over more than the 99 that did not go astray. Of course, it's a rejoicing for the 99 that will remain, but one is going to have great rejoicing that has been found. So going back to that really small event that we were at yesterday, not a whole lot of people, hardly any foot traffic, but two awesome witnessing experiences with such few people. And I was just like, I've just been sitting here thinking about that, marveling at God's timing. We've found that out many, many times over the years. And I know you sisters have seen God's timing work in your life in many different ways. And so I just want to encourage you, because I know a lot of sisters who are not out in the world. I mean, obviously, I'm somewhat of an anomaly because I'm with Brother James. We live out here in the world. And I know some sisters who live in bigger cities and they don't get out much. Some of them do. You know, there are sisters who do make a point to go out and try to do what they can for the Lord and giving out gospel cards. And I'm just kind of encouraging you sisters who are have many, many Titus II responsibilities at home, whether you're taking care of family members, whether you live out in the country and doing what you're supposed to do, what God has you do. Your life is not called out here on the road like I am. And you don't get to get into town much, and you might think that you're not impacting people much. But I'll tell you what, you know, if out of the month you loved and served the Lord in your life, that's number one right there, is our lives lived for the Lord. And if you went to town one time and you gave away one gospel card or put it somewhere, you were faithful and God can use that. And you never know what will happen with that. It could be that one out of the 99 that are there, and there's one that went astray that needs help. So I just thought I would encourage you with that, sisters. Don't think more is better. Not like the world. It could be, possibly, but let's not forget the small things add up, whether it's our works, little things that we do day by day, whether they're repetitious or new things or things that are always changing that make it hard for us to cope with. The little things add up to big things. And if we're faithful in the small things, God will give us the big things, whatever that means. Because I'll tell you what, the small things that I see just seem so big to me. I don't know. It's just, it's amazing how our sight and our understanding on things are opposite of the world. You know, what the world esteems, God abhors. We see in Luke 16:15. And so, I don't know, I guess I'm just kind of rambling on here, just wanting to encourage you. Don't think that the small things don't matter, because they do. And by the way, I just wanted to say, you know, for those of you who don't get to get out in the world much and give out gospel cards or to be able to have the opportunities to share the gospel very much, don't forget, you can send out emails online with the gospel. There's billions of email addresses out there that you could be sending the gospel to. You could be mailing it out. You know, there's so many different ways that we could be doing that with this technology today. You know, different avenues, I mean. So anyway, just thought I would share that with you. Praise God for this day. I wanted to read this to you before we go. Let's read a similar account in Luke 15:4-7. And this ending one, verse 7 is, yeah, I love this. Anyway, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. That verse 7, that made me cry when I read that back as a new babe in Christ. I was like, wow, that is pretty amazing, you know, that one person, somebody wretched and vile who has been cleansed by the blood of Christ, could be rejoiced over for repenting. And so when I think about that, I just think about if Brother James and I were just chasing after big events and sensationalists and get wrapped up in all that, we'd miss all these people in between that might be the one. You know what I'm saying? So the little things add up. So go about your daily lives. Don't be looking for all the big things. Every single thing in our life is important that we do for the Lord. And when it comes to witnessing, rejoice. If, even out of the month, you get to give away one gospel card, I rejoice with you. Praise God. You're being obedient. And who knows what the Lord is doing with that truth that went out. All right. I love you, sisters. Hold fast. May God be praised.